So here he is. He's the expert, as far as we're concerned, when it comes to the Arab world and the mind of the collective mind of the Arab world. Tzvi Yecheskeli, who is featured on a regular basis on the television here in Israel, always commenting on the situation. You can imagine how he's been turned to for commentary during this war. As the news obviously is dominated by discussion about the war. Here it is. I spoke with him last night. Tzvi Yecheskeli, my guest. This is what the interview sounded like. You're listening to JM in the AM. Tzvi Yecheskeli is with us. Why do you think we haven't had a hostage deal in the last couple of weeks?
First, I just went out from the studio, and Hamas and Jihad Islami rejecting the Egyptian initiative, whatever. They feel so in power. They feel that they still can handle, and they don't want. Why they will go to a deal if they feel that the world with us, with them, that they have a supply. The European community and in the United States as well, people saying stop killing Gaza children. Why not? You know, Yecheskeli, we don't care for Gaza children. We care more, right. Unfortunately. So
they have nothing to lose at this point.
Exactly. So why he would say yes? This is the negotiation. This is the bazaar of the Middle East. You know, it's bloody. It's cruel. And we're not there. We're not there because we went to this war because there was a conception. Our conception collapsed at Simchat Torah, the 7th of October. And we still see a lot of mistakes due to this conception.
One of the first mistakes you mentioned was that we didn't respond immediately. You would have liked on October 8th if the State of Israel would have responded. Was that even realistic? Were we prepared for the firepower that we needed for a day like October 8th?
It just was a small hint what you could do the first day. Of course, because if you smash at the first day, all the neighborhood and all the guys around will see, whoa, whoa. Right. And you see what's going on with Hezbollah. Yesterday, Hezbollah showed us, the Israeli audience, how Kibbutz Manara looked like. 86 houses destroyed from 155 houses in the kibbutz. So Hezbollah hitting us in the north. And when they are looking at their screen, they see it's possible. We can hit Israel. Israel is no longer the crazy and the cruel and the hurting guy. He's always
the compassionate.
Yeah, the compassion. Yeah. So this is 30 years.
Is it a myth that Hezbollah's not in this war yet? Is it a myth or
it's a myth? Go to the north and see that Hezbollah is in there. Right. Totally.
But why have they not done what?
Because you don't want.
Because
you don't want.
Meaning the U.S.?
No, the Israelis. When the Israelis said we don't want war.
They want
more war than you want. Okay, that's why they hurt all your antennas and cameras around the border. They fight you. We the Israelis say we killed them 130 guys. It's nothing for Nasrallah. For the first time since 2006, he's shooting. Where is the 1701 resolution of the United Nations?
But if his arsenal is so big, why isn't he tossing more rockets to Israel?
Because he sees
that we're strong.
Don't of Biden from a large war, but until then, you see all the time when you are confronting a terror organization, what they operate towards us, not the missiles, not the rockets
going into our houses, killing on the street,
they
and blowing
operate
up buses.
First. Your democracy first. Right. Your
ability to go around.
The ability to love and to love the life. And they always operated towards you because they're weak. Because we have an atomic bomb. We have abilities that we can crush all the neighborhood. We don't do it. Why? Because we are not allowing to ourselves to do it, and they know it, right. So they use it. You know, once the Jibril Ajoub, one of the head of the Palestinians, they asked him in an interview, what would the Palestinians would do if they had an atomic bomb? He said, if they had, It wasn't at the moment. It's just, so they ask him, what do you mean? He said, at the moment I will shoot it towards Israel. It's not such a responsible country like Israel. They're taking in consider all the
ramifications.
I told to the soldiers, I'm meeting with the soldier on a daily basis, if you're going to think about Gaza children's, you're going to lose. Right. You're going to lose. If you're going to think what they did to our children in the kibbutzim, we're going to win.
Right. So you were not surprised, and you're an expert at thinking like an Arab.
Yeah.
You were not surprised at the barbarism, the terrible things they did, the pogrom-like activities. This is like you're saying to people, why on earth would you be shocked? This is the way they think. This is the way
exactly.
they operate. And the type of people they are. But people had said that they were drugged in order to carry this out. Someone like you must think that's a joke. They don't need to be drugged.
They drugged just to not to be weak. Not to change their conscience.
Just to have energy.
Energy. No. Look, I was surprised that the army didn't wait for them. That we were so sleeping, double meaning, so sleeping in our bases that I was shocked. That because, 2 days, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, 10 September, they showed to the world operation that they're gonna do. It was on the screen. I transmitted here in our studios. And all our army went to sleep because they said, Yichya Sinwar, he's deterred. We gave him a workers that will go out to work in Israel, and it will be fun. We are not living in the same neighborhood, me and the army.
Is Judea and Samaria any different?
No.
Same thing.
Same thing in the goal, but the Palestinian
Authority.
That
means the PA is the same. That means Mahmoud Abbas is the same. It means they're all the same.
Taking an example. If the Israeli army will withdraw from all the West Bank in one day, and the settlers will have no
army
with them, what would the Palestinian will do?
Destroy every home they can.
Exactly.
And every person
you saw in the kibbutzim. Exactly. That's it. So, guys, we're under attack. We're in the war. But the problem is, in a democratic, liberal life, you can't see it's a war. You see it's terror attacks. You see it's here and there. I'm always saying, go to the schools, go to the mosques, go to the home, go to the education, and then you will find that you don't have any difference between West Bank and
anyone
Gaza.
Who thinks that that has changed in the last 20 years, that they're being educated differently, they're fooling themselves.
No, of course.
It's a joke.
I was in the mosques. I was in the places. Israelis are giving books to the Palestinian East Jerusalem with the same incitement. So what's new?
Yeah, you were quoted as saying you spoke to Arafat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was more than once, but you spoke to Arafat, right?
Yeah, eight times.
Eight times?
Yeah.
And he discussed his patience, his sablanut.
Yeah, sabar.
And you said, Zalo ha'ish,
ha'ishu.
Because Arafat couldn't care less if he outlives everybody else and if he sees his salvation. All he's worried about is that at some point the Jews will be gone and they'll be in charge.
When I ask him why you did what you did in September 2000, we offered you 93%. So a rational guy that you offer him 93% will say to you, okay, I will take it and then I will fight for the last seven. He said to me in English, you have a problem of numbers. I asked him why. I know mathematics. He said, no, 93% in your revision, it's close to 100. For me, it's zero. So I said to him, and 100? He said, even the 100, it's zero. So I said, hey, I'm confused. He said, it's not about numbers. It's about justice. They are not recognizing in our justice to have a state.
One other thing you have to address. You made a point of explaining to the world why today's soldiers in Israel, the young 20...
are more passionate to
why?
To because they born after 2000. You know, in 2000, Arafat, he waged a war with Hamas. He released all the Hamas from prison, all the terrorists. And they remember, they can't remember Oslo and the peace... Peace.
The young ones can.
Yeah, they remember buses are exploding, going to the mall and checking.
Seder night at the hotel.
Exactly. Seder Malone Park.
Park Hotel.
I know, I have a nephew there. He's 19.
In Gaza.
Yeah, in Gaza. He's in Golani. He was hurt last week. He's okay, in his legs. But he said, it's so natural for me to go to the war because I knew it's going to happen. So what's a small soldier know? Even our head of chief of staff don't know. Why? Because they took them into education courses to tell them that the Palestinians want peace and there is a price that we can share and we can, not to operate force and bullshit. Guys, you live in the Middle East. Study history, not more. Don't read Zvi Chazkeli and don't hear what he's saying. Read the history, that's it.
And President Biden lives in a very different neighborhood. He doesn't live in the Middle East.
He doesn't live. President Biden said 3 weeks before Afghanistan going to fall, he said the guys will keep it. We for 20 years we are forcing them with the best weapon. It's not about weapon. It's about how you operate the weapon. So, they failed in Afghanistan. An American guy told me a story that the first time that General Petraeus went into Mosul at the occupation of Iraq in 2003, they went to the son of Saddam Hussein palace. They went inside, slept in the golden bed, and right. Was so happy
sitting on the throne.
Yeah, and one day they operated. So they invited three major persons from the community, from the Arab community, the Christian community, to have a dinner with the new general. And they sat in a long table. They had a great dinner, and no one from the Iraqis was eating. So they asked him, "Guys, why are you not eating? It's halal." They said, "Actually, we don't know. We have a question." Says, "What's the question?" They said, "Who win?
Who won the war?
Who won the war?" So that's you joking? We are here. Saddam Hussein statue fall. Who won the war? They said, if you didn't deport us, rape our the daughters, and burn our houses, I don't know who win. And then after 20 years, he said, who win? Who win in 1967? Israel in Gaza? No.
Right.
Guys, I don't say that you will operate like them. We are moral. We are Jew. We have a Torah. But I can tell you, be aware what your step doing in the other side and how they look.
And how they
sometimes
think
your power look as a weakness.
Yeah. Is Shema Yisrael in a mosque a sign of strength or not?
I said it's for the guys from Jenin, they were afraid. They said, wow.
It would have been very effective if they would.
Of course.
But then Israel goes ahead and criticizes the soldiers.
Always, exactly.
How come they don't get it? How come the leaders of Israel don't understand what American pressure?
They don't speak Arabic.
Even the American pressure they cave into every time.
Because they are American that live here. They don't know Arabic. They don't live the Arabic culture.
Is there anybody in Israeli
inside of them? They don't like the Arabic culture.
Is there anybody in the Knesset that knows Arabic? Knows Arabic?
Ahmad Tibi.
Knows Arab culture. Is there anybody among the Jews?
I don't know. Mizrachanim, Orientalists, they few, Mordechai Kedah, Guy Bechor, all the guys that live with an Arab thinking otherwise. I don't know. That's what happened to me.
And that's why their policies are the way they are. And if you wouldn't have had this experience of being with them in so many different places, Gaza, Europe, yeah, otherwise, you might also think differently.
Yeah, of course.
But you know exactly how they...
I know exactly, because Arafat told me, we have a problem of rational. You do an agreement to share. This is your rational.
Right.
My rational in agreement that you are not going to be exist.
Right.
So, wow, I have Assad. We thought that Assad, the son, would be so nice. He's studying in London. He's a doctor.
A Westerner.
He like internet. He killed 800,000 people because we don't know to predict them because we predict us. It's a different. I don't say that they are lower than us. We are lower than them if we don't know them. And we're going to in Simchat Torah to tell to ourselves, just go to sleep, everything is okay.
Victory will mean what? This will be a victorious war.
Victory will mean that Gaza Strip will be without Palestinian any kind of authority.
And that means not like it was before 2005.
No,
much more than that.
No. Palestinian should immigrate from their will. Outside, they don't have any place to go. Because as the first day, the Palestinians will go to the mosque in the new Gaza, they will hear about the refugee, 48, and then you will see the missiles. So one day, when we told to the Israeli army in 2005, one day they're going to shoot Ashkelon and Ashdod, they said, you're crazy, you're the Orientalist, always see black. It's going to be Singapore.
And then they got to Tel Aviv also. It's going to be Singapore. Yeah, halavai.
Abu Mazen told me 2 days before the withdrawal from Gaza. I was with Abu Mazen. He said to me, next time I'm going to see you here, it will be Singapura, in Arabic Singapore. And then after 1 year, they kick his guys off. I said to him in Ramallah, what about Singapura? He said, Tora Bora. That's what happened with Gaza, yeah?
That's exactly what happened with Gaza. It's something that we have so much trouble understanding on the other side of the world, in the United States. We think that they are rational. We think they're democratic. Because we think that the world is one dimension.
Right. You know, right. End of History right. was a book that published in the United States in the beginning of 90 that the world will be great because we don't have any things of conflict. What is religious in the West? What is ethnic in the West? They can't see reality in the eyes of religious, because religious is something. But look what happened to me. I became Baal Tshuva from the thing I saw there. If you don't have any religious, you not exist. If you don't have any belief or faith, you're not in the game at all. So the Western world can't see it. Even today, Biden just said the Palestinian Authority, they killers, not less than Hamas. It's wrong, but you know, the Americans live in their continent. If they will have this problem inside of them, believe me, they were very quick to understand.
One last thing. You know what's happening in the United States with anti-Semitism. College campuses, government, members of Congress, right? Do you have a special message for those in Chutz La'aretz, or this is an area you don't usually speak about?
I will tell. I've been in the United States last week. I gave a lecture in Long Island. And I had a taxi driver from the Rabbi Milubavitch Springfield to the neighborhood. And he was from Uzbekistan. And I said to him, you're Muslim, yeah. You know Islam? Yeah. He don't know Islam because he don't know Arabic. Yeah. And I said to him, what do you think about Gaza? He said, you know, shame the Israeli, you're doing such a thing. Why are you killing all those kids? I said, because you killed in Israel 1,400. He said, I didn't hear about it. In Arabic, there is a phrase. He said, "Bidak al-haqa wa hu." You want the truth or his brother? His brother is the star in the United States. They're not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth to their audience in the campuses and so on. And I think that there's another reason why they are flattering to the Muslims, to the radical Muslims, because they know that they are the rising power in Europe especially, and United States.
But it's such a mistake, because in the end, they really will be coming
now
after
Europe you. Know that they did mistake.
Right.
You know, the Spanish said, well, we burned the Jews, we brought Arabs that are laying on our salaries and our benefits and so on. We're only in the beginning, but I said it at 2011 in our Allah Islam series, in Zahud Buya, in False Identity. It's a chapter in 2019 I did in Florida, in Tampa, in New Jersey, mosques that telling you the American, they're going to kick off 20, 30 years. That's it.
Yeah, and it's easy to believe now.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough. Toda rabba lecha. Thank you so much.
You know, I will just...
pleasure. Yes, please.
It's very difficult to catch it, to grasp it, because our life
is
changed.
So different. Right?
But Rabbi Nachman say, when you want to fulfill and to implement your dream, the first step you have to do is to wake up. So we wake up.
Toda rabba.
Toda rabba.
Kol hakavod.
Toda.
Amazing. There it is, my conversation last night with Tzvi Yechezkeli. Took place at Channel 13 in Neve Ilan near Yerushalayim, and again, very happy I was able to finally get him on the air. The person who is the person we usually recognize as the expert on the Arab mind, the Arab mindset, and somebody who has been on Israeli television for many, many years, and now, as you could imagine, his input is more important than ever. So that's Tzvi Yechezkeli, my guest.
To order a Zoom lecture or to invite Tzvi Yechezkeli to a lecture at your synagogue or organization, you can dial in Israel 054-676-6653. That's 054-676-6653. Or write to sasontol@gmail.com. That's SASSON. TOL@gmail.com.
And again, a big thank you to everybody responsible for helping me get him on the air. It was a months-long process. Glad we did it, and I think, frankly, he was glad that we did it. This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSegal.com and the NahumSegal Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.